Leo Vegas her. Hos os kan du altid slippe din indre løve fri og få mere spænding i hverdagen. Leo Vegas Sport & Casino. Spænding her og nu. 18 plus. Spil ansvarligt.
Gentlemen.
Excellent.
Here we go. Why don't we just jump right on into it? Very, very welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Aldrig AFK, Never AFK, a podcast about gaming. Today with... Oh, shit, I always do this intro in Danish. I should have translated it before I got started. Today with an unusually nice company here in our online studio. Very, very welcome, Gunnar Johansson and Morten Ståndal.
Thank you.
Coming at us from Sweden.
Yes.
From the Fat Shark Studios, if I'm not much mistaken.
I totally leave everything to Morten, but yes, that is
yeah, that's correct.
Okay, right. This is going to be a bad conversation if you're both waiting for the other guy to reply.
Okay, I'll do the replying. Yep.
Now, Morten, you are the narrative director of the newly released Chaos Wastes FLC for the Warhammer Vermintide 2 game.
Yeah, that's
franchise
right.
Franchise stuffs. And then we've got Gunnar as the backup singer, who is very sure that he has nothing to contribute, and I am here to prove him wrong. But in Gunnar's words, Morten, you are the more interesting person. So I'm gonna start by interviewing you. And okay. I don't know Gunnar very well, but I've spoken to him enough that I have the feeling that at some point he won't be able to shut up.
We'll see
how it goes. So first of all, congratulations. You know, we did the Warhammer Vermintide 2 talk with Martin. And then all of a sudden, a couple of months later, my YouTube feed is completely filled with Chaos Wastes content.
Nice. Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because I don't really play Vermintide. I think it's an amazing game, but it's not for me. It's like I didn't play Left 4 Dead as well. I get stressed. I need something turn-based where I can chill, have a cup of coffee. If I want to get stressed, I can play League of Legends. But I have a lot of friends really into the Vermintide thingy. And I follow a lot of YouTubers who enjoy it. And I enjoy watching a playthrough because then someone else has to deal with the stress. You know?
Yep.
And they're screaming like, stop it! I'm like lying on my couch. Yeah, that's someone else's problem.
Yep. And you can pause and you can, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But then we actually have the perfect thing for you, though, because we do have the Twitch integration, which means that you as a member of the chat can actually like direct what's coming next in the game.
What?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Okay, we make a note of that because we're definitely going to be speaking about that.
Yep.
But just like to kick us off, Morten, could you tell us just the headlines of what is the Chaos Wastes?
The Chaos Wastes is free DLC, you could call it. It's a free download, free update to Vermintide 2, which takes the heroes up to the crazy Chaos Wastes of the Warhammer world.
Of the North.
The North. Beyond Norska.
Which is a horrible place to be. Why would anyone want to go up there?
That's the question. But in this case, it's... It's Victor Solspire, who has been struggling a bit with his faith for a while, and he's
the witch hunter, right?
Yeah, he's the witch hunter, yeah. The religious guy. So basically he heard about this place where you can go up in the Chaos Wastes and do a pilgrimage up there, and then you can, if you defeat all the or conquer all the challenges on the way, you can get to talk to your god, basically. Or they will listen to you. That's the rumor. So he wants to go there and actually talk to Sigmar or ask for his help in the war against Chaos and the Skaven and the whole end times, which is happening. So that's the basic premise. And of course, all the other heroes tag along because that's what they
because
do.
Because loot and XP.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what heroes do.
Yeah.
So if you don't know the Vermintide franchise, it's a first person... It's basically Left 4 Dead in the Warhammer universe.
Yeah.
First person, co-op, wave clear, quest-based action... Paranoia.
Exactly.
Skaven slaying.
Skaven slaying. It's a
fun
heavy
times.
Focus on melee combat because that's the just hacking and
slashing.
Bashing in faces and slashing as well.
So to start off with, my first thought is so. We spoke when I spoke to Martin, he was like, "Yeah, we sold 2 million copies." Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So you have a success. You have a community that loves your game. You have like content creators putting out the word everywhere. You have Reddit threads. You have it all. Why do a free LC instead of a DLC? Why not be EA and pump us for all our money? What made you think we're just going to give out this content?
Well, the thing is, we tried that, but the problem with our like adventure DLCs and with Winds of Magic and such, but the problem is people, then we sort of divide the player base and make it harder to find someone to play with, because Vermintide is the most fun, I think, at least, is when you play with people.
Yeah, totally.
And if we have like a bunch of DLCs, which different people have different DLCs, then they cannot really play together. So we went for this. Okay, let's have the adventures, the sort of maps and the game modes and things like that. Let's have that free. And then we release a lot of cosmetics and things like that
people
can buy.
There we go.
And yeah, so they don't have to, but if they want to have a nice hat, they can sort of pitch in and help us with development.
Yeah.
I mean, what we want to do is have a great game. That's we want to continue working on the game. That's at least my first priority, and have a lot of people happy playing the game. I mean, that's, if we can do that, then I'm happy. So as long as we can continue doing that, I'll do it.
Nice. Because it seems like the community has, how's the reception been? It's my impression that it's been really good.
It's been great. I mean, we have had so many, both new and old players coming in and playing the game, and the numbers are like almost launch level sometimes.
Sweet.
And that's really, really good. We're super happy, and it seemed to stick. People stay around and play more than usual.
Yeah, because that's what I tried Vermintide with the first Vermintide with my friends,
yep.
And what I found was it got kind of old, a little too fast for my taste, doing the same runs with the same maps and the same challenges. And I haven't delved much into, but it's my impression that Chaos Wastes is more it's more of a run and less of a grind, if that makes any sense.
Yes, definitely. I mean,
so talk us through how the like the quest line. There's something with the map, and then you choose and you form a path, and
yeah, exactly. It's we call it a roguelite like game, sort of. So you have this. Everything is sort of oriented around this map, this expedition map, or what do you want to call it? So where you start on one point, and then you might have some choices. You can go left or right on the map to a new node, and that will put you in different sort of levels or maps.
Yeah,
you have a lot of maps, it seems. So and then they have different. They could be different places, and they have different curses from the chaos gods. So one of them could be a Nurgle level, and one could be a Korn level.
Yeah, yeah.
Tinge, for example.
I just wanted to say Tinge.
Yeah, it's a lovely name. And then you complete that, and then you move on to the next one. So you build this sort of tree of choices where you have the power to sort of shape your run. Or then, your expedition.
Now correct me if I'm wrong. And then in the original Vermintide, it's like you upgrade your character, and then you get a better weapon, and then you do another run.
Yep.
And then you get maybe a better weapon, and then you do another. But this like progresses your character along the way with. In map number 3 you find a chest with a better sword, and you go like, ogre, and then you have that sword for the rest of the run until you find an axe or...
Exactly. Right? So you start with the weapons you have, but in a basic version. So you start on zero each time you play, except your levels and talents and things. But the weapons you bring will be the basic version. Mm. And then you find... you can find altars with the new melee weapons, or you can find altars with the new ranged weapons, or upgrades to the weapons you carry, or you can get extra boons, which is equivalent to talents.
Yeah.
I think they're called boons.
In the trailer, I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah,
it makes it makes it in my mind much, a much more dynamic way of going through the hacky slashy bit.
Yeah, exactly, and it's we just add these boons on top of your basic talents and such, and they are all random. So there can be this crazy builds that will do like, I mean, we have sort of pulled out the stops for this one. Since it's Chaos Waste, things are crazy.
Nice.
The normal rules doesn't really apply. So you can... I mean, yeah, you can have... So you heal all the time, or you can make like massive amounts of damage, or your grenades are like nukes almost. And I mean, things like that.
But will
unlock...
That also, in my mind, gives the player the opportunity to play around more with builds.
Yes, definitely.
Because you do it runtime.
Yeah.
Because in the base game, you kind of make a decision, and then you upgrade, and then you, all right, I'm going to specialize, and I'm the one that... But here, you kind of, for every new run, it's a new character with a new...
Yeah.
Skill set, and you start from scratch again. And a lot of the things I enjoy the most in every like RPG, tactical game, whatever, I tend to enjoy the start the most. I play Dungeons and Dragons with friends. I always enjoy the lowest levels the most.
Yeah.
Where you go, it's a goblin! Oh, let's see if this broken knife can fucking... Because... In many games, you get to a point in the end game. Like XCOM, the fantastic games XCOM, you get to a point in late game where you've got the alien blaster, plasma rifles, and the fucking... you walk around in semi-tanks and throw nukes at the enemies. Just it's still cool because you've gone through the whole progression. It's the closer you need, but you're not really challenged anymore. It just becomes a Sudoku of violence at that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's the same in a lot of game, like RTS. When you have all the when the enemy just have the single base and you just go with all your troops and move on and just kill them, or in Civilization when you have circled the last city of the enemy with nukes and then you just nuke them to oblivion. And I mean,
yes,
I totally agree with you. At first, like, when you're still exploring mechanics and what and all the dreams of the character or the build you have is still yeah. valid. So maybe I'll find this magical thingy, Mabob. And then when you come to that point, when you find the Grail, what you're going to do then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
you're not supposed to find the Grail.
Did you think about that when you? Because obviously it's still the same core gameplay. First person, beat the shit out of everything in front of you.
Yep.
Did that put you in the? What made you think you needed to go another way with this expansion? I guess.
Well, I think it was just an idea and an experiment, I guess. Could it be done? Because we felt that from the start, we didn't know it was going to go to the Chaos Wastes, so I was a bit hesitant. Because normally, if you go to like a normal place in the Warhammer world, there are limitations, obviously, because it's supposed to be a sort of believable world. Mm. It would hamper the roguelite a lot if we just stay in the Empire or Reichland. And then we came up with the idea to put it in the Chaos Wastes, and then just everything started to work, because then you have this just removing the limitations, and it just started working.
Mm.
And I think, I mean, we do a lot of experimentation with things, both on paper and try out. And then if they work out, we release them. If they don't, we keep working or just put them to the side for
but
now.
I mean, this is not a small expansion, so I don't
know.
I don't assume like you make a. You sit in your gamer labs and you build an expansion the size of the Chaos Wastes just for as a test.
No. I mean, it starts with a proof of concept, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we have like prototypes along the way where we test it and see is this a thing, and we have like what you call it, like green light milestones where you can raise concerns and maybe take another direction if it doesn't really work the way you thought it would, and so it's a constant process of evaluating and sort of finding the right direction. And we've done a lot of testing this time with actual players, which is nice. You get feedback and you can talk to them and so on.
Is that where Gunnar enters the picture? Or is that later on?
I think it's later on.
Yeah, later. But it is, yeah. We tried to get him to play earlier, but yeah.
Well, that must be so cool, man. You know, Gunnar. Everybody else makes sure it's a nice game, and then you get all the glory.
Exactly. I just travel the world and tell everybody I did everything.
Yeah. Oh, hello, New York. I just made this game. I'd like to show you.
Exactly. That's pretty much me in a nutshell, actually, but don't mention it to anyone in the studio.
Nice.
That sounds great.
Mm.
Yep.
So talk me through a little more about the... How do you go about... now, you're the narrative director, Morten. Like,
yep.
What were your initial thoughts and what challenges... did or dumb anecdotes or tell me about the development, I guess.
Well, the first challenge was obviously to find where we should place it, find a location, because I'm responsible for making sure that we do a game that is
Warhammer. Games Workshop will yep. give their stamp of approval, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's part of it, but also I need to, because I'm a bit of a zealot there. I think that it's important to not just make Games Workshop happy. I need to be able to proudly say, this is what I think Warhammer is.
It's a trinity was the word I was going for, because I had to deep down to find that in my English vocabulary. But it's like the trinity of when you do a Warhammer game, you both need, like, you need Games Workshops who own the IP, the stamp of approval, and you need your own integrity in the you know, you want to do something that you're proud of and that you could say, I did this. At the same time, you need the community and the fans and the players to not go, this isn't Warhammer!
Yeah, exactly.
So can we dig a little into how do you approach a game when the universe is so, like, the in-game universe is so, what can you say, established already?
Well, you have to find your boundaries. Know the boundaries.
You can't introduce aliens all of a sudden.
No, exactly. Or other, like, IP infringing things, obviously. But also, I find it very useful to have someone to ask. And so we work with writers, and we work with. I have a really close relationship with the Games Workshop. I ask them all kind of weird questions, just to make sure that their view or my view is
aligned
with their view.
Gotcha. So does that mean that there's one guy at Games Workshop whose job is just to be the law keeper, and he just sits and answers the phone and goes, that's metal magic you're thinking about. No, it's TZEENT.
Actually, yes. Not just.
I want that guy's job.
There are several of those. Each project gets one assigned to them. They obviously have more than one project, but we have a guy that we talk to, or I talk to, every week, at least once. To make sure that we are doing it right. And that's not as a limitation, that's the support. That's the good thing working with someone else's IP, is if you have a problem, a question, how should we get this to work if you can't solve it yourself? You have someone to ask. If it's your own IP, you have to make it up.
And also, in I find in every creative design process, I find it often easier to have, like, a established skeleton that you can pre-create. Like, if someone tells me, write me 10 minutes of jokes, I'll be like, But if someone says, can you write me 10 minutes of jokes about chihuahuas? I'll be like, fuck yes, I can.
Yep.
Here we go. Blah, 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 blah.
Definitely.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right? And it's the terror of the blank page.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a real thing, I think. But, I mean, having these, like, years and years of lore, which we can rely on, which is established. If I have a question, I could either call a friend, as it were, or just look it up in a book. And then obviously we come to some questions which really doesn't have an answer, and then we can sort of reason our way to a solution which actually works.
Are you a Warhammer geek from before the before times?
Yes.
That was quite very empathic.
Quite geek. I've been playing a lot of fantasy battles and also fantasy roleplay in all different shapes and forms.
There we go.
So yeah,
that must be so cool to work with your out of work private universe. But that's the beauty of working with gaming.
Yeah.
Like what I'm doing right now is my job. I'm sitting here geeking out about fucking games.
Yeah.
You're listening, Mom. I know she's not listening. But all those hours spent in the teenage room, that was research and not a waste of time.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're very, very fortunate there. And regarding the Warhammer IP, I think there's a lot of IPs that would stand the test of being a fan and a professional at the same time, I think. But since it has the depth and the history and everything, I mean, you can get lost for years in the amount of reading you could do if you wanted.
Yeah. So speaking of getting lost in years and years of entertainment, I see, like I said earlier, I see a lot of content creators, like us, just putting out runs now.
Yep.
I'm doing the Sorceress. See me burn. See, you want to see burning rats? Clickbait? Question mark? OP Korean. What the current clickbait meta is for the Chaos Waste on YouTube. Talk to me a little about that. How much do you sit and watch people put out content or?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the last few years when this sort of game streaming or game videos has sort of exploded. It's been such a benefit for us developers.
Which leads us back to what we set a note of in the beginning. So if I am streaming, or I'm watching a streamer, can the chat influence which monsters they meet?
Yeah.
What?
If you want to,
How?
You
donate 10 bits and the Rat Ogre shows up?
No, it's sort of a vote system where
that's so cool.
During the play there comes up a sort of a bar where you can vote A or B.
The
chat votes A or B, and the one that gets the most votes sort of will it be a Rat Ogre or a healing draft?
Yeah.
That could be a choice. Do you want to punish the guy playing, or do you want to help them? And it all depends on the streamer's relationship to the chat, I guess.
That's genius.
Yeah, I think
the chat will always give you the bad option. That's more fun.
If you say so. Yep.
Oh, that's hilarious. I saw.
I think it's great.
Do you know the little dumb card-based roguelite called Slay the Spire?
I have not played it, but I've watched a few streams.
Oh yeah, I just saw that has a streaming mod as well, where the monsters will be named after the chat, and then if someone writes something in the chat, then a little dialogue box comes up of the monsters, and they, you know, it's the same you vote for. It was just to say that's. Well, talk to me a little about that. How did that happen? What has the reception been?
It's been great. I mean, we had that. When did we introduce that, Gunnar? Was it on launch?
Yeah, day one, and it opens the the interaction with the chat very much because it's easier. Some people don't want to, you know, write something in the chat because they might be judged or, you know, by other people reading. So you have to say something smart. And it's easy to be voting through the chat, and it opens up conversations a lot. So a lot of streamers are very happy. I mean, actually, every streamer I talk to is very happy that we have this because the interaction is you can't find it anywhere else, pretty much.
Yeah. So you say the streamers you talk to, is that have you paid anyone to stream this, or how does that
No.
How does that work? You say you talk to influencers. Is that like, hey,
yeah, yeah.
Here's a Because I'm a mini influencer, I guess. Because a couple of times I've gotten like a code or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. I mean, the chat, as you know, as people are talking about Chaos Waste, people are interested in someone streaming something, playing something. And that's one way of picking it up.
Yeah.
Or someone that knows us, then we will supply them information. This is coming. And check it out, and they want to. Because, I mean, the best thing with streaming is if you stream the games you want to play and the games that the audience want you to play. So that's the best choice when someone picks it up on their own accord.
Makes a lot of sense. And the reception's been amazing, you say?
Yeah, it's been... Yep. I mean, we more than doubled the amount of players for Chaos Waste, and it's also usually when you play Vermintide, you play for a certain amount of minutes, and then you're done with the level, sort of. But it's very hectic. It's really hard to do anything else than play the game. Mm. So I guess Chaos Waste also, when you do, shows the different nodes. Here's Morten was talking about. It also gives you a little breather in between all the action parts.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, that's one of the big benefits of it is that you get these sort of natural breaks between the when you play the maps, you have these shrines, and you get to spend the coins which you find in the levels on like blessings or things that you can take into the levels later.
Mm.
So you get these natural breaks instead of just stressing from one level to another, which us old guys really can't keep up with.
In my own very short streaming career, like, I do play a lot of League of Legends, and I discovered that it was a horrible streaming game. Even though I really enjoy it, first of all, it kind of requires everyone in the chat to play League of Legends themselves because it's so information heavy, and also it's so hectic that I had no way of like last hitting and team fighting and macroing and all of that stuff, and at the same time being active with the chat and joking and doing all the things. So I swapped to XCOM, for instance, where, you know, it's turn-based, so I can read and I can name my dudes after people who subscribe and all that. Made a lot more sense to me. So that just seems like... Yeah, it seems like a good evolution, I guess.
Yeah, and it's sort of... I mean, we're not going to stop making adventures, but it's a different... I mean, you can do different things in the game if you want... Because it's a longer commitment. It takes a bit over an hour to play a run or an expedition. So... It's more than the sort of half hour thing that a normal adventure is. But if you go into it and play the, if you spend the hour, I think it's more. Since it's a lower paced thing, you can definitely do it.
If I know the Vermintide franchise enough, there will be stress.
Of course, there's always some elements of stress, but they are a bit shorter.
And maybe there's just space in between the stress.
Exactly.
And not just one full 40 minutes.
The constant stream of Skaven slaves. Yeah. No. It's more. It's more paced.
Mm, okay.
I think. Yeah, so I think it's nice. And when you get to the end, it's an arena, so you get some kind of bookend thing with a conclusion. And there's four expeditions that you do with sort of increasing, not difficulty, but intensity, I guess, where in the last one you reach the Citadel of Eternity, which is the place where you get to talk to your god.
Yes. So, yeah. Talking to god, so that sounds nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Spoke to god the other day. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. No, but it's a nice thing, I think. Yeah. And we can keep working on it. We can add things. I think if you would place the levels side by side, I think it's a larger area than the game was on launch. Mm. So it's a huge thing, and it's a bit different because you play the same maps from different directions, where you start in one point and then you end in another, and then next time you play, you play from a different direction. And mm. and also on top of that, we have the curses from the four chaos gods, which is different, which changes the environment, it changes a special curse which happens when one of the four chaos gods is looking on the area, like the Eye of Sauron kind of thing. So they get a bit themed for the different gods.
So is that again to add more levels of dynamics, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. So increase the replayability.
Mm, yeah,
I guess. And also, but because what we want to do with this is we want to tell the story about religion as much as we can tell a story in Vermintide. We want to tell the story about religion in the Warhammer world, so we yeah. have representation of different gods alongside the chaos gods, which is the opponent here.
So the reason I'm laughing is it just occurred to me when I spoke to Gunnar and said, yeah, you're going to be talking to Morten, who's the narrative director. I was like, okay, the narrative director of a Vermintide game, is that the guy who wrote the plot of Skaven's Show Up, the End? That's a short day at the office.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about that. How do you... Because when you don't have, like, dialogue options, and you don't have... it's a very, very action-based game. How do you... which tools do you use to tell a story through violence, I guess?
I guess, I mean, we have a few different ways of telling a story. And, I mean, basically, it's the story about our characters. It's the story about the heroes, how their relationship. I mean, it's a relationship drama, basically, you could say. And in this, we have a quite advanced system to play all the conversations and dialogues we have in the game, which is sort of dynamically picked as well. Depending on where you are in a level, which people are present, what which has happened before, different dialogues come up as the things that are played. So I think and then we have obviously the mission briefing where the innkeeper Franz Lohner tells you, okay, this is what we do, what are supposed to do. But I mean, that's tops 20 seconds or something. And then we have in the base game and the adventures, what we call campaign mode, is we have the basic sort of a linear story where you chase the different lords of the Rotbloods and the Skaven, and then you kill Raskent at the end, and then for the next adventure we have this other thing that happens and so on. But for the Chaos Wastes, we don't have that. There's no like linear story. It's more of a, it's your, this is gonna sound, this is,
bring it.
Yeah, okay. It's your story. Yeah. That's sort of the marketing speech, I guess. But it's actually that, because it's how, in which order you experience the levels, what dialogues that the characters have what when you play. That's the story of this. So it's,
and also
basically
it,
what
it feels to me that the Chaos Wastes gives the player a greater amount of player choice.
Yeah, definitely.
Which again adds to the, I guess, the RPG element of it all.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I mean, when,
but of course,
when
you choose the story that gives you the highest DPS. You're not stupid, but still, it's nice with the story, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's an indirect choice. You don't choose what the characters are going to talk about in the next. So you don't choose which part of their story that you experience, because that's taken care of by the system.
So you get to focus on hacking and slashing.
Exactly. Which you do you, and the heroes will talk about stuff.
Yeah. That's so nice. You babysit the player a little. Look, we don't... You have one job.
You have one job.
We'll take care of the rest. Exactly. Don't worry, you'll get the story and the loot and the stuff. Yeah. But you have one job. Focus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So no, so we focused a lot on sort of the characters, how they evolve and how they sort of, because we have added new careers as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll be adding more of those. So
careers is classes?
Yeah, basically. But it's called careers in Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay instead of classes, as in Dungeons & Dragons. So we went with the English version. So basically, the first one we added was Grail Knight, Bretonian Grail Knight for Marcus Kluber.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the French human kingdom neighboring the empire.
Medieval heavy knight.
Yeah, exactly. So it's no ranged weapons, because that's only peasants who use that. Only like sword and shield and maybe axe. If it's a war axe, and a hammer, if it's a war...
war hammer.
Yeah.
Or so a mace, if it's a war mace. You get the idea. Okay.
Yeah, you get the idea. So basically, it's a very melee-focused, or it's exclusively melee.
Yeah, because every other class can like swap dynamically between ranged and melee weapons like very, very easily, right?
Yep.
And then you basically use ranged until you run out of ammo, which happens fast.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So that was the first one, and then we released the second one, which was an outcast engineer class for the dwarf bard in Borison, where he got access to a Gatling gun, pistol, and a special engineer's hammer.
And only in Warhammer do you actually have to decide whether you want to use an axe or a Gatling gun?
Yes.
In any other universe, the choice would be easy. But in Warhammer, sometimes an axe is better than a Gatling gun, especially when it runs out of ammo.
It depends. Yeah, I mean, it's different tools in the tool chest. You know?
Yeah.
Some people just scream that they want an axe in the face instead of a Gatling gun.
And bullets. Also, an axe never runs out of ammo.
Yes, that's true. So
all reliable.
Very reliable. So that was sort of the two we have released so far. And I don't think we have announced any more, right, Gunnar?
No, nothing. But it will be more.
There will be more.
We haven't announced more, but there will be more. Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah, we have,
of course,
more.
Like, this is also, now that you have the base game and you have the expansion, it seems like it will also be, because I spoke to Martin about this as well, that you guys are planning on working on Vermintide 2 for a long time, so you can just kind of keep adding content to the to the skeleton, right?
Exactly. As long as people keep playing, or enough people, obviously, because I mean, we have rent to pay and bills and stuff like that, so we can't keep working on it forever if people aren't playing.
Yeah.
But if people keep playing, and I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't keep working on it.
Yeah.
From my point of view, at least. I'm not promising anything, obviously.
No,
but,
gotcha.
but I mean, yeah, so we want to keep doing this. Add new adventures and new careers and new other things, obviously. So, yeah.
So what's the long-term future? Will there be a Warhammer? Will there be a Vermintide 3 at some point? No promises. I'm not going to hold it on you. But
I don't know. I mean, it depends. If we keep working on this, I don't think we need Vermintide 3. But if at some point we feel that that is a good thing, I guess we would.
Yeah.
But I mean, we haven't really talked about it.
No,
to be honest.
But like,
we see
other franchises like do re-releases or texture updates or so you can you can also go very far with the same game with patches and updates and all that before you need like to completely rework and restart, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could keep updating and replacing old things, and so in the end, it's not. I mean, there could be nothing from the original game still there.
That's like my PC.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
the same PC I've had for 17 years. I just keep replacing the oldest part. So now it's like a zombie, like sewn together necromancer version of ancient bits and pieces. That makes a lot of sense.
I actually got a new case recently. No, that was 10 years ago. Yeah, so exactly the same.
Yeah. Nice. So, where do we go from here? I'd like to hear more about Gunnar. More from Gunnar, actually.
Yeah, well, I told you guys that, you at least, and everybody who's listening, that Morten is the more exciting person.
compete for my attention then.
I don't know. Morten is really winning this battle. I work with PR and stuff, so I said it before that we started recording, I think at least, that if you want to work in the games business and you have no talent, then you should go for my position. But that's actually nasty to say to everybody else. But it's I don't do the heavy lifting in the. I only contributed one thing in the game, and that's a kind of a circle that turned out to be more oval. But I did something at least.
You did something. Well, everybody needs something. It's like it's the same thing with the chat, you know. Everybody can't. Maybe we need. Sometimes you need someone to vote for Rad Ogre.
Of course. Yeah.
Take one for the team and vote for Rad Ogre.
Yeah. And we all have our parts in the game.
Yeah. The good thing when you work with a game like Vermintide is that I can say this as I don't really have contributed that much to the actual making of the game, is that it's a really, really great game and it's easy to get people interested to it. And that's where I come in to introduce the game to people.
Mm.
And it's a lovely gig to do that because I remember the first time we started showing the first game, and that's over 5 years ago, when no one maybe have heard of well, they probably not haven't heard about the game, and they started playing it and at the game shows. And usually, you know, when you go to game show, you sort of like play with your left hand, kind of like thing. You just try something out, and you play it for 30 seconds, then you move over to the next thing, because you know that's how it works. And a lot of people came to the station. They started playing. You saw they didn't really put a lot of effort in it. After about 15 to 20 seconds, they started looking for the headphones, put them on, and they were playing the whole demo for 15 to 20 minutes. And afterward, they were like, "This was awesome. When is it out?" And unfortunately, being a game developer, it's like, "Well, we can't tell you, but follow us on Twitter." Because everything is secret in the games business.
That's like the success ratio. Look at the dude on computer number three. He's putting on headphones. Score.
It actually is.
But
I
it
mean, as
is,
soon
it
as
is.
you
You know, when
tell
you
them.
go to, because there's too many games
Yeah.
at conventions, right? And you want to experience the most. So that's a big up
Yeah.
for Vermintide to actually hold people. Of course, it's yeah, good job. I was going out on a tangent here, which I usually do.
Well, it's your show. I mean, it's
It's
yeah.
my show, and I'll
Yeah,
cry
I'm
if I
still. I
want to.
mean, you claimed before that you could do 10 jokes. I think it was on Chihuahuas. If you got the question, and I'm still waiting for the jokes there.
Okay, but let's see. Here's the point. I can very, very. It's like if someone goes to Morten and say, "Can you do a whole episode where you only fight rattling gunners?" And he can go, "Sure, I can." And then he'll go into his lab and he'll come out half a year later. And I'm the same kind of comedian. There's basically two kinds of comedians: the improv heavy and the text heavy. I am text heavy. Sure, I can do 10 minutes of jokes about Chihuahuas if you give me 20 hours to write them and test them on open mics. Sure. I'd love to.
So let's circle back in December then, I guess, right?
Oh, you need to pay me for that.
I couldn't afford you, man.
No, I'm sure you could. I haven't worked in a year. I'm very cheap. So how? What's the? We've spoken for almost an hour now, gentlemen, as we are prone to do. If we're to, I don't know, tie a bow, make a kind of a conclusion. A follow-up about this whole thing would be to say,
Play
try
the game.
Warhammer Chaos Wastes. Yeah, play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
If
definitely.
yeah,
you're if you
I think.
if you enjoy stress, and if you or if you're a streamer who wants to have something to rage at your chat for, yeah.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Test your chat if they like you or
Yeah, definitely, and it's very social too. I mean, you play 4-player co-op, so you
Yeah.
can so if you play with friends, it's the best thing. I play with three colleagues, and they're so much better than I am, so they carry me around the levels. I'm always a dwarf. I have a ton of fun. I mean,
They
I know,
cry, I laugh.
yeah, a little bit like that, and they're wondering a lot of what the are you doing? And I try to explain it, and it makes no sense apparently. And also, my specialty is to pick up the barrels that are exploding and, hit them, pick them up, or walk around with them and throw them at someone as a weapon. And that is not very effective, and it's also could hurt your friends.
Teammates.
And apparently, they get really ticked off when I do that, and I do that all the time.
Nice.
Yeah, but
I
it's
guess.
Are you one?
Hmm?
Yeah. No, it's just gonna ask Gunnar if are you one of those who get lost?
No, not often. It happens sometimes in a new level, but no, not often. I
Yep.
and also people keep screaming, "This way!"
Okay.
Makes it easier.
Because I
Yeah.
guess that's the biggest point about the Chaos Wastes, I guess, is play it, and if you have the opportunity, play it with friends.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah.
Like I
Anything is more fun with friends. Like chess, for instance.
It's
T
really boring
tennis.
when you're alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, tennis, ping pong.
Masturbation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
And on that
one of
note,
the things.
Gentlemen, Gunnar Johansson and Morten Stormdahl, thank you guys so much for joining my little entourage of awesomeness here today.
Thank you so much.
Usually I ask my guests if they have anything they would like to plug here at the end, but seeing as how we've been plugging this entire hour.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything else? I follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, exactly, and all the Insta and everything like that, but we actually could plug one thing, which isn't Vermintide. It's another game called Dreadlands, which sounded pretty much exactly what you like to play, and I will send you a key after we're done with this show.
Oh, I think we did an episode on Dreadlands. I have played Dreadlands, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Quite enjoyed
playing
Dreadlands,
actually. Yeah, you even talked to Peter. I remember that now. I set that up. I have a very horrible memory.
Well, this is going to be episode 180-ish. I can't keep I can't remember everything we've ever spoken or talked about or people I've spoken to. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, well, I do my best. Yeah, it was just a big update for it as well, so it makes perfect sense to try it out.
Yeah, well, shout out to Dreadlands, try that out as well. And you could also try out smashing that like button on the Facebook for Aldri AFK's Facebook page. It is the easiest way to reach me if you have questions or ideas for guests or topics. Also, thank you so much to the wonderful people who support the podcast at tia.dk. You are the guys holding it all together, and I could not have done it without you. While you're on YouTube, if you need a break from watching Chaos Wastes content, my new stand-up show, Dumb Jokes and Dragons, is still readily available, so have a look at that if you want to. And the best thing you can do is, of course, to listen in again the next time we will be Never AFK. Pow!
Vilkår gælder. Spil med omtanke.